Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. How are you doing? And I give a shit. I really do. You know, it's so weird. I don't know why, but today I'm feeling a little disoriented sitting in my apartment by myself doing this interview in front of my cat and my dog. They don't care. They don't really, you know, my cat, I have to tell you something. I'm just going to get this off my chest and then we're going to move on. But I want to tell you that my cat and my dog don't really like me that much. And I feel like it's been really difficult because my dog likes my husband better than me. And my cat is sort of been pushed aside because the dog doesn't want the cat to get any attention. And the dog is very dominant. So the dynamic in my household has gotten a little intense, and it's difficult. It's difficult, but we're hanging in there, and the weather's getting nice, and I love that you guys, like, I'm communicating with you, and that makes me really happy. You know what else would make me really happy, too, is if you went to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com /drive-to-5, and donated some money or helped yourself to a shirt. Get a t-shirt. We got some really great t-shirts just for donating. We got 5 different designs. One of them I made. One of them is from Cosmo Vinyl. Do you know who he is? He used to manage a Clash. We got some really good stuff on there. So we would love you to support our radio station during this difficult time. It's difficult. I know. But you know what? We're all going to get through this together, and we're going to be a lot tougher. Like, we're going to, like, I'm feeling positive about this, folks. I mean, I know it's difficult right now, but all emotional growth is difficult, okay? So, and you know, usually when you go through emotional growth, you go through it either alone or with maybe a few other people. Something difficult doesn't usually affect the whole world, but this is affecting the whole world, and we're all growing together. And I'm not getting into a thing about the government, but that's kind of the most negative. Our personal government in the USA, I think, is a big negative draw, or like hub right now. And I think we're going to get through this, and we're going to be better people for it. Eat your vegetables, okay? So anyway, I am thrilled because I have one of my, you know what? I'm going to tell you something, Cloudy.
Yeah.
The director of the station, when I told him you were going to be on, he's like, you love pink clouds. He was like, what is up? You're always talking about them. You love them. So I am certifiable fan. I mean, ask Tom Tenney, the director of Radio Free Brooklyn, and he will tell you. But
yeah, and I've seen you in a few shows too.
Yeah, I love your shows. I love everything about Pink Clouds. Claudie Love is the lead. The lead creative, because it's more than a band. It's the music is amazing. But one of the things that I really love and have always loved about Claudie and Pink Clouds is their whole aesthetic, I feel like there's this really passionate kind of, I don't know, it's like almost like like a whole nature flower explosion, just like this whole, like, you know, if you saw a field of flowers blooming all at the same time, that's the aesthetic that I think Pink Clouds has. That was pretty good. What do you think, Claudie?
Yeah,
that's good, right? That's kind of what it's like. So anyway, they do everything. The music's great, but then there's puppets and just a whole world of, and I'm going to tell you to go to their Patreon page, because that's a good place to find out about them. So it's patreon.com/pinkclouds. And you can also go to Instagram Pink Clouds and follow them there. And they're going to be doing a few live Instagrams here and there. But Anyway, the last time I had Cloudy and his, am I saying your name? Is that how you say it? Cloudy, right? So last time I had Cloudy on, he was here with Bear, right? Didn't you come into the station with Bear?
Yep.
Right? And that was 2000. Do you know it was almost exactly 3 years ago, May 6, 2017. I'll post that link with this interview session. So you can go back and see where they were then. We got into some personal shit and we had, I remember Bear, I was asking Bear a lot of questions about you and he was kind of telling me about you so you didn't have to talk about yourself so much, right? Wasn't that kind of what happened?
I wish I had him today. I talk about myself this time.
So anyway, there you have it. That's why I try to describe why I am so passionate about this band and Cloudy. But I want Cloudy to explain, and anyway, their career, the band, I mean, I keep my eye on them. It's been unbelievable how they've taken off. They've played, you know, sold out shows at Joe's Pub. They've toured, I'm going to say the world, because they have toured several continents and sold out shows all through New York, you know, as far as I know. Joe's Pub, Le Poisson Rouge, great places. And the crowds, you have really passionate fans, right? They like love your je ne sais quoi, right? Right, Claudie, don't you feel like that?
I don't know why, but I mean, I guess one of the reasons is like I play a lot on the subway, so I think a lot of people have found us in the subway, and it's just been like I think it's a special way of finding new music, you know, by finding it in life. Like you're walking down the street or you're going, you know, somewhere and all of a sudden the music just comes to you. So I don't know. I think
you're a real natural. I think like you're just so naturally outrageous. Like you're not trying to be outrageous. And that's a really hard thing to pull off because you can't fake that. And I think people see you out in like the most democratic of places, right? The subway. And you're like really putting yourself out there like a really honestly crazy person who happens to be very talented. And I think people are like, wow, that person just is so comfortable being a freak with us and is giving us some great music. This is awesome. That's what I mean, from my, you know, psychological analysis, that's what I think the public is responding to. So I'll shut up. You're going to play some music for us. Here's the thing, guys. Claudia's going to play a song for us right now, and then I'm going to end our interview about 10 minutes early. And then she is going to play, I'm going to let her play at the end. So we can really, you know, have some music, some extended play. But before we get started, can you just describe, you know, tell us about your band, like how you see it and all that stuff, and go ahead. Please.
So the best description I can think of, I mean, we're a mix of so many things, but I like to call it an imaginary band. And really, even from the name of the band, it's like something that I came up with when I was like 14 years old. And it's like, I always wanted to have, you know, when you're a kid and you just pretend you have a band and you maybe like play with a broom and, so I always had this idea of what it would be like to have, and it's probably not the most traditional idea. I mean, I always thought that the bass player would be some kind of animal and the drummer would be some kind of old wise man with magical powers. And to some extent, you know, when it came time to start a band in New York City, when I moved here a few years ago, I was able to, maybe because I was playing so much in the subway, you know, I was able to meet exactly the kind of people that I had always wanted to have in my band and to do the kind of music that I always wanted to do, like, especially in the city, I felt that I could, I think I had kept myself from really going as crazy as I could throughout the years and until I finally got to New York, and it just, New York, Not only does it let you do whatever you want, it actually almost encourages you to go as wild and crazy. Like you really you feel the how the love comes back. It's so much more, in such a bigger way when you really allow yourself to be truthful and to be you and and in my case, if you're a little bit weird, then it really appreciates the weirdness. So
So you felt embraced, and for those who you felt embraced, and for those who don't know, you're originally from Puerto Rico, right?
that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah,
Which
yeah.
it has its own its fair amount of weirdness for sure.
I think you brought some of it with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm excited to hear you play. What song are you going to
So
play?
I'm gonna do a relatively new song from our upcoming album. It's a song called Hopscotch. Can edit in some applause there, man. That was awesome. You know, my cat and my dog haven't fucking moved. That was great. I really enjoyed that. And I know everyone else has. God, it's great. Thank you so much. I actually have this, in case you, I mean, there was more than one voice because I'm using a looper. So I looped throughout the song. And one of the loopers I have actually has an applause.
It does? Oh, let's really? Oh, great. Wonderful. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I've been doing this show on Instagram and different, you know, different things, Zoom also, and it's such a weird thing to play and like not that I'm expecting anyone to.
No, but it's like, you know, it's part of the rhythm of playing, having applause,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. So yeah, and it's hard not to feel a little bit awkward if you finish a song and it's like,
yeah, right. No, you know, it's funny because I was watching this Conan video at his whatever, and you know, they put in applause. They put in taped applause, you
Conan,
know.
Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien. Yeah. You know, it's really funny because it reminds me of just really quickly when I was a little kid, the cleaning lady would come over and she'd watch like whatever soap operas or stuff, and whenever. Or, you know, whatever, television. And whenever the laugh track came on, I would laugh.
Yeah.
And then I got traumatized by this. And she said, why are you laughing? You know, and she goes, you know, and I'm like, because they're laughing. I'm supposed to laugh. So anyway, yeah. That works. So
I really, really like laugh tracks. And I'm a very big fan of Calvin and Hobbes, you know.
Yeah.
One time I got like this huge box set, which has absolutely every single comic of Calvin and Hobbes.
Wow.
And I was like, so I'm an experiment I do with some people if they were born in the 80s, basically, is I check what was the comic on the day they were born. And like that kind of like says something about you. And
mine, oh, I love that.
Which I will not say the date. But mine is actually Calvin. He's like talking to his mom, and he says anything, like just something that's not particularly funny, and then he just starts laughing, and then he says something else, and he starts clapping, and the mom is like completely confused as to what he's doing, and he explains that, you know, he thought that his life would be a lot more fun if he had a clap track and a laugh track. That pretty much.
I get it. Oh, that's great. You know.
I'm gonna.
I have one of those little noise maker things that you can carry around, and it makes different sounds. I kind of want to grab it. I have it right here. Let me see if I got it. Well, anyway, if it was right here, oh, it's right here. I'm gonna show it to you, but I don't know. Anyway, in the meantime. You know, I was thinking, Cloudy, it might be a good idea because I'm worried that we're going to run out of time to maybe do another song right up front. Because I realize I'm watching the time and I want to make sure we get enough pink clouds in there. So would you like to do another song right now? I want to make sure everybody hears your music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great. Thank you. In the meantime, so I got this thing that has all these different sounds on it. Oh, no batteries. All righty. So here's what we're going to talk about, guys. So you stick around because Cloudy is someone who really owns, in my mind anyway, owns the busking situation in the subway. She's really made it work. And that's how I met Cloudy. But her whole thing is started out on Delancey Street. And I think that's a really important place for you, isn't it? Like, I mean, that's kind of your home in a certain way, isn't it? Is that where you feel most at home when you're playing? Or like, is that?
Yeah, it's a beautiful station for many reasons. One of them is just the way that it's made it invites a lot of people to kind of hang out there. All kinds of people. Some people, you know, who may be homeless. Other people who just, you know, they've got nothing particular to do in that specific day, and they just like go there and they hang out, and they might bring like something to drink with them, and they just sit down, and it's the disposition of the place is in such a way that they can sit down and listen to the musicians that are playing, and a lot of musicians play there on a regular basis.
Oh.
It's a place to do your own show.
It feels like a little theater, right? I know what you mean. Like for those of you that may not know, although I can't imagine any of my listeners not knowing, but because it's such a but it's such an iconic place. But anyway, it is sort of almost set up a little bit like a theater. I could see that, but it's also in the Lower East Side. It's not like Times Square. Have you played in Times Square?
Yeah, I didn't really love it.
It's a very different vibe. It's like, it's very touristy, people all in a rush, and it's just, it's a very different, it has its own vibe, Delancey Street. So we're going to talk about how this pandemic is changing lives and affecting you and stuff like that. But let's do another song. So what song is this one going to be?
So you were asking me earlier before we started the show about songs in Spanish. So I'm gonna show you one of my new songs in Spanish.
Oh, wonderful. I love it.
It's called Atomica, which means atomic.
Atomic?
Yeah, atomic. All right.
Thank you. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, so basically, what did that translate into? Just
I think that means atomic. So it's kind
atomic.
of about, yeah. Well, they both have similar subjects. I mean, both songs I played. It's kind of about just like diving into the unknown, and whatever that everything might explode in your face, but you just like go in there. It's kind of a crazy love song about just like doing it, and whatever happens is what had to happen. So yeah.
Oh, great. That's perfect for right now, because that's where we all are. We're just diving in and seeing what, and we're all, like I said, we're all in this together. We're all like facing an
Oh
uncertain
yeah.
future.
Yeah, and that's
Yeah.
another one.
With endless possibilities. A lot of them are going to be great. But if you can deal with the uncertainty, you're going to be great. And
Exactly.
we're all dealing with the uncertainty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the so anyway, back to the subways. So we were talking about how the Delancey Street is station is someplace that you really connect to and you really feel at home in, and it's a place that I think you get a lot of. It's like, is that the first place, like when you came to New York in 2015? Is that like, this is my pad?
Yes. Yeah, I mean
Like.
I played in different places, feeling it out. First place I ever bussed in when I moved to New York was Coney Island, which is also a very
Wow.
magical and special place for
How
sure.
was that? Was it what you expected, or how was that?
It's great. I mean I still love Coney Island. It's just a little bit more of a pain in the butt to get down there from where
Yeah.
I am. Number one. Number two, it's only good for the summer. And sometimes even in the summer or when it's not like full on summer yet, it's more like weekend, so it's a little bit more limited in terms of
Right, right, right,
people. But
right, right.
I absolutely adore going in. I mean,
Okay, good, good, good. We love Coney Island.
yes. But no, but so I tried different stations. When I found Delancey, I knew this was my spot. It has bathrooms,
It
which
does? I did
it
not
does have
know
bathrooms,
that.
not
Really?
fully open, but on the downtown side of the F train, yeah, there's bathrooms there. So
How
for
are
most.
they? Are they kind of, I mean, I mentioned they're really gross. Are they okay? Are
They're
they gross?
absolutely
They're
horrible.
gross. But they exist, and if you need that, it's right there. But it's not like a green room kind of situation.
Oh no. But it's my kind of green room.
Right. Yeah. So there's something about the vibe there that like you connected with right away. Love at first sight. Love at
Right
first
away.
sight.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm gonna say that you're I mean, there aren't a lot of people that really do make a living, as far as I can tell. Like that is, you're there aren't that many musicians that I know of that really do well or own the busking situation as well as you do. And I think, like, we give you that, and you do make like a pretty good portion of your living off of busking, right?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it's not. I'm not getting rich by busking, but I'm living in New York,
Yeah,
which
no, I mean,
is huge.
we artists consider making a living the goal with our
Yeah.
art. I mean, that's a very high bar for any creative person in New York. Very high bar. So
Yeah.
you've come here and you're making a living, and busking is a big part of it. So, but I feel like for you, busking is more than just make. There's something about you being in that public environment that really works well for you, right? Do you want to tell us what that's about? How
For
that, what
sure.
that feeling's like?
I'm very, very, since I was a kid, I've been very much obsessed with New York. I think I told you in the last show, but in part because of this book called Who Needs Donuts by Mark Allen Stamati, which has
Right.
like all these like amazing, like very, very saturated with information drawings and just all the madness and craziness and greediness in New York. And I've always been obsessed with that. And then when I moved here, it's very easy, even in New York, to somehow be disconnected from that, and maybe even more in today's New York, which is not as gritty and not as crazy as probably the one from the 70s that he drew. But in the subway, and on the streets also, especially in summer, I feel like It's not just that I'm in it, I feel connected to it. I feel like somehow I'm connected to people, to like the pulse of the city. I know that's kind of a cliche, or the subconscious of the city, but it's true. I mean, because it's not only the individual, even though I've met so many beautiful individuals in the subway, but it's just every like all the individuals make this one great thing, and that is New York. And I really feel it. Like sometimes I go out and busk, and like maybe the first hour, first 2 hours, I'm in a funk. I'm like trying, I'm thinking about making money. I'm thinking about like, doing the songs and setting up, and I'm not really getting there. But there's this weird moment, usually after about 2 hours, where nothing matters anymore, and you kind of like break through this invisible barrier, and all of a sudden, you're like kind of in it. Like everything is just flowing, the energy, people, and people start smiling at me, and people start talking to me, and everything is just like magically connected. I swear, it's a very beautiful moment that I've become a little bit addicted to. I like sometimes I'm at home and I don't even need to busk that day. Maybe I'm fine with rent for that month. Maybe I should be composing. Maybe I should be writing. Maybe I should be, I don't know, whatever. But I just need it. I just absolutely
Wow.
I'm very addicted to that.
You know, it's really funny because as somebody who's lived here, I was born here in 1956. I lived in Stuyvesant till I was 8, and then I moved back after college in 1978. And that is kind of the juice or whatever, the connection that I value so much. And as somebody who I see, you came here in 2015. So where I sit, that's relatively new. And I love hearing that because it makes me think, like that's still there, and that's something that I've recognized throughout my life of being here. And for you, starting out here in 2015, it's so great hearing that, you see that, and that reminds us there's something magical, right, about New York that you just can't find anywhere. I mean, I can't find it anywhere else. I have never found it. I've been other places. Have you been to LA? I'm always so competitive.
No, I haven't.
Really?
I'm curious about
Why
it.
not?
No, why not? It just
Yes,
hasn't.
Ned, you just haven't?
Yeah, it just hasn't happened.
I want you to go to LA and then give me your opinion on LA versus New York. Will you let me know if you ever do when
Sure.
you will get there, I'm
First
sure.
thing I do, I'll get there and
Yeah.
I'll
Give me a call and give me your honest opinion. So, as somebody who obviously connects with New York and connects with the subway, like what's going on? Like what's your experience? What's your emotional experience like? I mean, let me just say, I don't want this to be depressing because we're all getting back there, but like what's this transition been like for now?
I mean, it's been even more particularly frustrating, I think, because the weather was starting to get nice, and it still is. And apart from the subway, I really like playing on the street. I think I also get that connection by playing the street. Sometimes people are in a slightly better mood in the street, which is also nice. So I really enjoy that. And like right when that was happening, this all happened. But it's been hard. I'm not gonna lie. It's been hard, but I've taken it as an opportunity to do. I mean, like I said, sometimes because of my addiction to busking, I will put, procrastinate on things I have to do. So I've been doing a lot of things at home that I needed to do. I've been working on new songs, some of them inspired by what's going on. And I've been working on a book which is gonna have 26 poems and stories.
Oh, wow.
26 because each one will have only words that start with a specific letter. So there's gonna be, one that only has words that start with A, words that
Oh,
B,
wow.
et cetera, et cetera, et
Oh,
cetera.
wow.
Yeah, because I once wrote this poem called "Why Would Werewolves Worship Waffles?"
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
So now I decided that I'm gonna make a picture book with that, and so I've been working on that project, and that's been a
Oh,
lot of
that
fun.
sounds great.
Yeah. And it's weird how, certain like letters will drive you. They kind of drive the poem or the story to wherever it's going. So like I did the Y. which, you know, there's not that many words with the letter Y. And everything kind of like went towards insults.
Oh, that's hilarious. Like, what, give us an example.
So, you know, it was like, you yucky yuppies.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you like yacht yearning, yodeling, yucky Yankee yuppies. And, you know, it was all like, it was just like a string of different insults with the Y. And and at the end, it's like the yoga, Yolanda's yogi yelled yesterday. So it was like all these insults yelled by a yogi. it's really fun. Like, I like limitations that make, you know, that they kind of drive the thing towards it has to go just, you know, naturally.
Right. So why words are, have a, and that's interesting. Because I, you know, there is an onomatopoeic sensibility to words, meaning words sound like what they, words mean like what they sound like. And are you waving around like some kind of weird finger pinky thing? Like, what did you just put that on unconsciously? I'm getting a, I have to get a picture. It, like, is this just who you are?
Yes.
Okay.
I have these things.
Wait a second. You just put them on, like, okay. Oh, okay. So hold on. I'm using that one. Guys, you, well, I'll post, I'm going to use this picture, but.
On my fingers.
Okay. That is crazy. Yeah. Okay. We're seeing another, you know, the Zoom thing is great because you really, we can get pictures this way and videos and stuff like that. But so I'm going to post that when I post this session, but so that's been rough. Have you thought about going, are you thinking about playing outside, or can you play outside, or what?
I mean, I'd rather not. I don't really feel that worried for myself right now, but
it's a
responsible thing to do. I feel like I,
not yet,
maybe soon, hopefully soon, but for now I feel like I don't want
people to stand next to each other. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you start playing again, are you going to police that? Are you going to have to do that? You're going to bring somebody with you? How are you going to manage that?
I hadn't really thought about that yet. I'm not, like I said.
You haven't gotten to that, one day at a time. Make a sign. That, you know, I see you making a sign.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll do that. So it's been rough, but you're there with, you have a partner.
Yeah.
So you guys are hanging out to get you, well.
We're playing a lot of Scrabble.
Are you?
Yeah, I've gotten really good at Scrabble.
Oh.
with my letter poems.
Mm-hmm.
But something good about being a busker, actually, I've been thinking, because something that I don't see happening anytime soon is music venues opening.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a lot are, you know, restaurants and stuff open in the next month or a couple of months, I really don't see, like, you know, shows with 100 to 500 people standing next to each other. I just really don't see that happening. So luckily, I feel like I've been, you know, maybe I've been preparing all this time for this moment.
You know, that's so interesting. You know, that hadn't occurred to me, but that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what you do is so democratic because it's out in public. You don't have to buy a ticket. You just have to be there at the right place at the right time or know about it.
Yeah.
So this is actually kind of a good, this is kind of a good thing. Maybe we'll all get some like music out on the streets.
Yeah, I'm hoping that a lot of people will do that, or people who don't usually busk. I always try to tell musicians, you know, that don't usually busk to try it out, because it's such a great thing to do. I mean, you get to play for, like, the, you know, a real audience, like, not the audience that already knows you, not the whatever,
right,
indie rock musician, and, you know, the indie
rock. Yeah, right.
You get to test stuff out, because I think if things are good, then usually all kinds of people like it. I mean, people react well to, like, people aren't that closed, I mean, at least in New York City.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope that we'll see.
That's an interesting perspective. So you don't think, so, but the thing that you do give up that I think a lot of musicians, you know, understandably probably for the kind of music they're doing, they give up control, right? Do you feel like, is that, is that why a lot, why do you think a lot of musicians don't like busking? Or why isn't it more popular? It's a great medium.
Yeah, I mean, but it's funny you say control because, yeah, I feel like that is part of the experience. You have to let, you got to lose a little bit of that control. And, you know, sure, maybe some people don't like doing that, and that's fine. But to mm-hmm. me, that's one of the good things about it. Like, mm-hmm. you let the city shape what you do. And that's kind of what's happened, what this project has been from the beginning. Like, everything from how I dress to the kind of, like, decorations that I put in my busking setup. Because, you know, I put lights and signs and sometimes mm-hmm. little toys and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. I kind of, like, react to how people are reacting and what people, you know, what works. And uh-huh. not in the way like, oh, I'm going to sell out or, oh, people want to hear pop songs, so I'm going to do pop songs. No, be yourself, but see what things, you know, work better than others. And but you have to be open to, like, constantly evolve, you know, based on what the city wants and what the city needs. I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's almost like I'm religious about the city. Like, whatever God, whatever the New York gods want.
But I also think that you're making an emotional connection. You're making an emotional connection with people, and you're sensitive to that. Like, you're getting the feedback from them. Like, I don't know, you know, you are by nature, for whatever reason, tuned into that. You know, and I don't know. I mean, there are like a lot of, not every performer is, right? You know what I mean? You know, I mean, we're all inspired by different things. And I think a lot of your inspiration comes from that feedback with the people, but like just at random people. You like feedback from random people.
Yeah.
And I don't think everybody does that, you know?
Yeah. They don't have any reason mm-hmm. to applaud or to give you money or to stop and listen. They, you know, they are not obligated to anything. And
right.
They're not like, oh, maybe I should give constructive criticism, or maybe I should, you know, maybe I should say something nice so that it's not like too discouraging. You know, no, they don't care. They don't give up. So
right.
That's, yeah.
So you believe, like, it's kind of like if they really do like you, you kind of believe it. The feedback you get feels very genuine to you.
Yeah, and if they don't too, because it's not like
everything's
positive. I've had apathy. I've had all that.
No, the feedback in general feels, and that's what you want. You want that on it. You want unsolicited feedback. And I don't think everybody wants that. That's really masochistic. You know that?
Sometimes I feed off of, like, I was telling you about, like, those first 2 hours where I'm like kind of like hitting against an invisible wall. Well, that, yeah, those first 2 hours can be pretty masochistic when I'm busking. Like, sometimes, I mean, it's not always 2 hours. Sometimes it's nothing. But yeah, you're like, oh, why aren't they listening? I just kind of like, it makes it more tragic. And I even feed off of that tragedy of like, oh, I'm here, nobody's listening. And I just like, keep on going until I'm so tired that I just disintegrate and become, so, you know, I don't know, I become part of the air in the subway station, and then it starts working. I guess.
So do you like the challenge of winning people over? Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have trouble winning people? Like, were you like that as a kid?
Wow. See that?
That's a left turn right there. What do you think?
I did.
Did you? Like, what would happen? Like, tell me about it.
Well, I mean, let's see. I my parents dressed me in a very particular way when I was a kid, and I had a lot of trouble with that.
Particular meaning weird, but particular. What do you mean?
Weird,
you're being protective of them, which is very sweet, by using the word particular. But what do you mean? What do you really mean?
A lot of sailor outfits. My hair was not too short for, you know, the way that most people would think that my hair should have been. So, yeah, I had a lot of,
Do you feel like they used you as an expression of their own fashion sense, kind of a way to express their own fashion?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Did you stick out? Like, did they dress you to stick out? I mean, you probably look fabulous, but did they dress you to, I mean, whether you enjoyed it or not is another story, but it sounds like they put a real effort into how you were going to look, right? A very thought that it was kind of self-conscious in a way, right?
I mean, I don't think they wanted me to stick out. I think they had like they also didn't like really believe in much TV or technology or video games. So it was like more of a belief thing, like no, so kids are dressing a certain way nowadays. Well, I don't believe that that's the way the kids. So I'm gonna
Did
do my kids, so I'm gonna do whatever I want.
you talk to them about, did they know that,
Not
did you get bullied for that or picked on? And did they know that?
I don't think they did. I don't
And
think
you
they did.
didn't, did you know, did you have feelings about that? Did you feel like I wish they would dress me normally, or did you just take for granted that's what the way it was? Did you have feelings about it, or was it just like, oh, the
50-50. I would probably like have these feelings of I wish they would dress me normal, and I would suppress them because I knew that I wasn't really gonna, you know, I just felt that it was easier to suppress them, I guess. And but yeah, but eventually I kind of came to my own, and I started dressing the way I wanted to, and I started doing whatever I wanted to, and I probably became a little bit more normal for a few years until they.
Oh, so you mean you wound up going now when you got older, you're like, I'm picking out my own clothes and I'm going to look like everybody else. And then after a while, you realized how constraining that was and you were like, fuck it.
Yeah, but I didn't start wearing the sailor outfit, so I didn't go back to
No,
that. I
you
went
went to
to
your own version. So
yeah.
when we went back to that, how did your parents react when you started dressing normally? And then how did they react when you started dressing the way you wanted to? Did they have reactions?
So I think they didn't really react they didn't really tell me much. They lost control at a certain point, especially when I dropped out of high school and I just started like doing whatever I wanted. Like it got to a point where they just knew. They were always really they're I wouldn't say hippies, but they were liberal and they were
Yeah, their own
about a
vision.
lot of things, and then at one point, like they realized that it was completely out of their hands, and it was, and it's I think they for a while they were maybe disappointed, or maybe they felt like, darn it, I wish I could have like really made Cloudy do certain things, like finish college or whatever. But now, but I've always done it kind of exactly what I wanted, and in the end, well, this is not the end, but at least for now.
No,
It worked
not
out.
even
I
end
mean,
is
I'm very.
but at this point in your life, they're like really happy about it. So yeah, that's great. So they sound great.
No.
Yeah, and they actually wound up putting you through something that was difficult, but wound up being kind of like fabulous, right?
I guess so,
For
yeah.
you, because By the way, you listeners, Claudie and I went very deeply. I remember we went pretty deeply into your childhood and stuff in our earlier session in
Oh, did we?
2017, right? Didn't we get, we got really into it. So I'm going to post that along with this, so you can, like, if you want to really learn like about Claudie's childhood, I think there was a lot in there, right?
I haven't listened to that interview in
I
ages.
know, I haven't either. Maybe Bear got a, but I remember we got a lot out of you. So how does that relate, since I have to get to the bottom of this, and then I won't press you on it too
No,
far,
sure.
too much farther. I don't want you to cry.
No,
No, but you won't. But I'm just curious, so how does that relate to wanting other people to like have the challenge, the drive to just put yourself out there and then get the reaction you get? Does that relate back to that? Do you know what I mean? What we were talking about?
No, repeat it again, or yeah.
Okay, so when we were talking about how you're masochistic, right? That you put yourself out there, and then you challenge yourself really by winning people over, which you are really brilliant at. But you challenge yourself that way. And I was wondering where that came from, your childhood.
Yeah, so I guess so. I mean, I guess because I did have friends, like, But believe it or not, even though I did get bullied, I did have friends, and I did win a lot of people over, either through jokes or drawings. I remember I would make all these weird drawings of like crazy green people doing weird things. And I don't know, I think through humor a lot of times, or through singing, or different things that I did, acting, also doing voices. I kind of won some people over, and so maybe there's some part of me feels more alive, or feels like only feels alive when there's like some kind of challenge, something that I have to, like, yeah, if people already, they're already there to like me or to see me, it's just not as much fun as when you have to, like, challenge yourself.
Well, maybe you feel like you make a deeper connection by putting yourself out there because, like, say, they have to kind of know you and appreciate you on some level. They have to connect with you in order to like you because everything, like, they can just go, "Who is that freak?" and walk by, which plenty of, I've been, I'm there, I'm with you on that. I mean, I've been there, that happens. I mean, I performed in public. I know how that. I mean, in a very different way, but I know how that is. And then the people that really appreciate you connect with you. So it's either they don't care about you or they connect with you. Or maybe they don't like you. Do you get people that actively dislike you and are hostile? I don't imagine you do, but do you get, you don't get a lot of that, do you? Or
No, every now and then someone will scream. So, I mean, it's New York, of course.
yeah. But you get mostly ignored, or people really dig your vibe.
I'd say
Yeah,
that.
yeah. So those are all good things. So you probably learned from growing up the value of not being ignored, but the also that you have to work hard to get people to connect with you. Like, it's not about what you look like or anything superficial. It's about the effort you make of what you have to offer, like drawings or songs or voices. And then if you put yourself out there enough, you will get that back.
And it's funny because sometimes I feel like, you would think, oh, I would want to do like the craziest songs when I'm busking to get people's attention. And sometimes it's doing the absolute opposite. Like, I do like the more like the softer, more emotionally exposed songs, and I start playing them like as knowing that, oh, nobody's gonna listen, this is like too quiet, nobody's gonna pay attention. And all of a sudden it's like the absolute opposite. Like, so there is something really beautiful about like really showing yourself, exposing yourself. And
So, is there any demographic that you particularly appeal to, or is it a very broad demographic? Do children particularly like you, or any, is there, who responds to you? Can you pinpoint any particular audience
all
or
kinds of people.
demographic?
It's
All
weird.
kinds of people.
You never know. I've even had a lot of Hasidic Jews.
Really?
Who
Wow. Hasidic Jews. That's a humorless group. I'm impressed.
I've actually been hit on by a Hasidic Jew.
No, really? Wow.
Like subtle, like he gave me the paper, he gave with his phone number.
Wow, a Hasidic Jew? You better report him. That, oh my God. Wow, that's awesome. And you didn't, do you still have the number? Why don't you put it up on the screen?
I don't know what happened to that number, but
Anyway, Claudia, I love talking to you. I love your music. I want every we got 5 minutes left, so I want you to put in another play another song. But I want to tell everybody to go to your Patreon page, okay? So that's Pink Louds, PincLouds. I also want to let you guys know that you should really go and check Pink Clouds and Claudia out because the videos, I love the videos. The videos are incredible. Everything, there's so much, it's more than music. It's a really rich experience. So I want you guys to check that out and make sure to stick around. We've got great program this afternoon. Schedule has not changed. Some people are doing it live from home. I may learn how. Some people are doing pre-records, but we have the same great schedule, same great. We see each other on Zoom all the time, Radio Free Brooklyn hosts. stick around, okay? And go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/drive to five, and Claudie's gonna sing us, gonna give us one last song. What are you gonna play?
A song called Soul in My Body with an instrument called the kalimba.
Alrighty.
All right, from our first album. You can find it on Spotify.
Oh, great. Thanks for being on. Thanks. Great having you.
She tells me I got soul. She sees it when I sing. Yes, little girl, she tells me I got soul. She tells me I got soul. She sees it when I sing. Yes, little girl, she tells me I got soul. She sees it when I sing. I tell a girl, your eyes are getting old. You couldn't tell a mountain from a hole. 'Cause I can't feel a thing. No, I can't feel a thing. No, not even when I sing. I've got no soul in my body. I've just got soul in my brain. Soul in our brains.
Your dreams, your presbyter.